we're born with these knowings and these gifts in all different ways. And some of us have been able to hold on to them and some of us haven't. So we have to unlearn. And then it's also a remembering, which is interesting because you know how to do this. Like many people that I read come from other planets that this is the way that they communicate. So they know how to do telepathy. And many of us have been healers for many lifetimes or know exactly what the Akashic records are, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of it is like the work that I do, I teach, you know, these programs, but it's really just a remembering and an activation.
Hi, my friend. I'm Sabrina, your host of the Cultivating Curiosity podcast. You're listening to season 3, which is focused on getting curious about spiritual evolution because us humans are ready to go beyond, beyond what our 5 senses can comprehend, beyond the logic and reasoning of our minds. We just need some guidance, which is where this podcast comes in. Every episode is inspired by my very own deep questions related to spiritual awakening. And my hope is through my own curiosity, both you and I will uncover an aspect of ourselves we always knew was there. It just needed to be awakened. Are you ready? Spirit guides, guardian angels, whatever you want to call them, there is undeniably an energy that is surrounding you throughout your entire life, serving your greater good. You might have this vague sense that there is protection and love surrounding you, or you might be more intuitive and have actual conversations with your spirit guides. Whatever it looks like for you, just know you are not alone. Nikki Novo is spending time with us today and sharing her wisdom and experience with spirit guides. Nikki is the face of her company, Nikki Novo Co., which is focused on helping people tap back into their intuition and communicate with spirit guides to help with life's everyday challenges. What I love about Nikki's work is she brings together a community of like-minded, inquisitive individuals who are after the same goal, enlightenment. She holds the space for people to connect, learn, support, and awaken together. Nikki and I talk about all the things today, including what are spirit guides, how are spirit guides assigned to us, practices for connecting with our very own guides, finding the courage to come into our own spiritual power, and lastly, we talk about Nikki's very own podcast, Soul Led. Thank you for hitting play today, my friend, because you are about to get 5 steps closer to the enlightened, awakened being I know you strive to become. Now let's dive in. I'm so happy Danica reached out because she reached out on Instagram seeing that I rebranded season 3 of my show. And the first couple seasons was just really talking to people and getting curious about all different aspects of life and really just the mission of my podcast was asking questions to better myself, to better my listeners' lives, and to just learn something new. And my whole life, I have just been so drawn to spiritual growth and spiritual awakening, and really on this journey of getting out of my mind, out of my head, and back into my heart and into my true self. And those types of conversations in the first 2 seasons are what lit me up the most. So I was like, why not dedicate an entire season and maybe the future of this podcast to spiritual conversations? Because there's so much to it. There's so much to unpack. And I feel like it needs to be talked about more. And I'm so grateful that we live in this day and age where I feel like it is getting talked about a lot more and it's becoming more of the norm. I feel like that's just been a recent development, like over the last few decades. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm so excited to talk to you today about spirit guides and mediumship. And oh my God, this is just like so up my alley. I'm so excited. But I want to just kind of talk about you first a little bit before we dive into that. So you're living in sunshine, warm Miami. I'm so jealous. It's currently raining up here in New Jersey.
Oh, I was born in New Jersey.
Oh my gosh. No way. Where?
I was born in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Oh, not too far from me. I live in Woodbridge.
Oh, funny. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so. But I moved here when I was young. So yes, I did get to grow up in sunny Miami.
Oh, so, so cool. So, and you live there with your family, correct?
Yeah, I grew up here. My parents are Cuban. So they lived in Union City and like Elizabeth, I guess. I know that that's like where they started off. And then my father went to med school and his medical training like brought him to different parts of New Jersey. And like, they finally landed in Toms River.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like that's kind of like where my dad like kind of settled. And my mom was like, no, it isn't. This shit's not getting any better. She's like, we are moving to Miami. It is too damn cold. Like, she had already lived like so many years away from like that Caribbean weather and like her people and her culture. And she felt like she was like getting from like worse to like even more worse. So she moved us all in 1990 just because she, you know, she really was missing her culture and like that weather and that kind of Cuba feel. So yeah, we moved here in 1990. I grew up here. I moved after college to LA for a little bit because I worked in the film industry. I worked at Lionsgate and Fox Searchlight because I thought I was going to do, I was in the publicity department and I was like going to do entertainment and all that.
Wow.
LA was like very expanding for me because I found people that were making money, like number one, doing something they loved and also something creative because my father is a doctor and you know, that immigrant's story is usually like become a lawyer, become a, you know, an attorney, a doctor, an engineer. When I went there, I was like, wait a second, people aren't making money like writing and shit. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, this is a thing. So that was really cool for me because I thought that I was going to, you know, kind of pick a bit of a creative field, but also be poor. Like that was just kind of something I had come to terms with. But when I was there, I was like, oh no, like you can actually like make a living there, living doing this work. So I got into writing because I met a lot of writers when I was there and fell in love with that. And then I moved back to Miami and started writing. So I was an editor at like Refinery 29. I was an editor at MSN, NBC. So I did a lot of fashion and beauty writing actually and lifestyle writing and being an editor for that. But what happened to me there was dating a boy that I thought I was going to marry. And I was like super in love with this person. And he broke up with me like out of nowhere. And like my brain had, you know, kind of set this sight that I was going to be with this guy forever. And even my intuition. So this was like the beginning of my, I don't know, just kind of trying to figure out that intuition. Because now that I teach intuition, one of the interesting things is like a lot of kind of regaining that. It's always a regaining of the intuition because everybody is born with intuition, especially women. Like this is like our central, like little GPS system. So what's funny is that when you teach intuition, you actually run into a lot of like intuition trauma, basically, like the things that have made you doubt yourself or have made you doubt your intuition. That's really like what we're trying to regain when teaching intuition. And me, I had that experience. Like I was with this guy and I really felt like this was my person. I remember like going to church and like praying and asking, you know, God to like, please bring me a boyfriend. And like a few weeks later, he brought me a boyfriend. So I was like, this is God sent, you know, like my intuition was like, this was meant for me. So then when we broke up, it was really like a trauma in many different ways. My brain couldn't handle, like my brain was like, no, like future was supposed to be with this person. Also just that intuitive part of me too, was like, wait, what just happened? Like that really felt real to me. Like, was I making all of that up? Am I crazy? So through that process, I actually like, you know, I always joke, I'm like, you know, you either go to therapy, you start drinking a lot, or you go visit a psychic, like when that stuff starts happening. So of course I went to go visit a psychic and I really love it.
That would be my course of action too, by the way, Nikki.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I definitely did a little bit of the other things also, but I was like, I need a psychic. Like this is the time, but I was raised Catholic. So going to a psychic was like a big no-no, very scary, but I just felt like it was that time. Like there was just no other choices. I didn't know where else to go. So my girlfriends and I, like two of my friends, we were like on the hunt for like the best psychic. And we saw a bunch of different psychics and none of them, like all of them made us be very afraid until we finally landed on this one woman who did angel readings. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting. Like I felt safe with angels. I was like, okay, like they're in the Bible, you know, and they seem like light and fuzzy. So I'm okay with her. So I sat with her and she was just so impressive, you know, like she predicted so many things. She actually predicted my husband who I'm married to now. And it was like years before I met him. And she was just so impressive. Like, I was like, how does this work? And I was so fascinated by like how some people had this ability. And I think that the craziest thing, even though I never had any psychic abilities growing up, or at least I wasn't aware of them. I think what was really interesting was that after that session with her, I had the audacity to ask the question, can I learn this? Which is, I think, so strange to even think, because usually we look at these psychic people and we think that, or these mediums, we think that they're superheroes. You know, we think that they have some sort of like super gift. But for some reason, I remember just like being in the zone with her and being like, you know, I first asked her to introduce me like to angels. I was like, can I talk to my angel? Can I connect with my angel? And she was so encouraging. Like she didn't think I was crazy for asking that. She had had this gift her whole life, but she wasn't against the idea of like maybe that I could learn to do it. So she introduced me to a lot of like metaphysical texts. I started off with angels. Like I got interested in angels and I really like, I was happy at my job. I had no interest. Never did I think I was going to do this for a living. I just was really trying to go down my own, you know, spiritual path. I was trying to expand my spiritual understanding because, you know, when you grow up in those religions, like it's just that dogma gets so suffocating, you know, in many ways. So I wanted to kind of also, I was just interested in like what else is out there. So that was really like the beginning of, you know, these gifts starting to open up. And, you know, through the process, I just basically started to train myself and then all these really cool awakenings and like my ability to kind of understand messages and like dead people starts showing up for me and like giving me messages and all these things. So it was really just this very fascinating process. And then at some point I got to the place right before my last full-time job was at Refinery 29. And I just got to the point that I was like, you know, I think I'm ready to do something on my own. I thought it was going to be more in like the self-help department. I knew that I could already do these things, but I never like could imagine myself calling myself like a medium or a psychic or anything. I was like, no way. Like that just was not an option for me. But, you know, as I started to go off on my own, little by little, like this just kept being called to me. And then finally, here I am today. Like it's very much out of the spiritual closet, but for a long time, I was in the closet for a very long time.
Wow. There is so much to unpack there. I mean, that's honestly the dream, right? Like you not only love your corporate job, but you feel this call and this passion to do something else. And you took that leap of faith and you built an entire new career around your passion and helping other people tap into that intuition and do what you do. And I love what you said where, as I was writing up some questions for our chat today, that I actually wrote that exact thing down. I said, the view that we have of mediums is like such a special, rare population, like a rare percentage of the population. Like we think, okay, there's that Teresa Caputo, there's the Tyler Henry Hollywood medium. Like they're like the elite, they're the special. But we all have that intuition. At the end of the day, we all come from the same ocean. And like you said, we all have different experiences in our lives that either make us more open to the intuition or less open to it. And I think it's so great that you had that curiosity. It all started with the curiosity to want to learn this. And so what was like when you were like training yourself before you started Nikki Novo Co., which is your company today, before you started that and you're still working at Refinery 29, what did the training look like for you? Were you just like doing it on the weekends? Were you reading lots of books? How were you practicing and developing your intuition?
So I started off with angel stuff because it felt safe to me. And I was reading all of Doreen Virtue's work. Are you familiar with her?
No, I'm not.
So I just say that because like some people are triggered by her because so Doreen Virtue was like the grandmother of like all angel work. She wrote these amazing texts and she would, you know, channel angels and she did a really beautiful work. But I guess about like 5 years ago, she like denounced all her work and said that it was like the devil's work. And now she's like this kind of very Christian and like has turned away from all her angel work. So whenever I talk about her, I just let everybody know that her angel work was really great and that shouldn't like take away from like where she is right now. But people do get freaked out because, you know, it's like this teacher and she's very, very, very popular, very well known. So I studied all of her books. She has a great just body of work when it comes to angels. And she does these, you know, she even had these books on like how to talk to them. So I would sit there like in my bedroom, you know, I was editor during the day and, you know, ghost hunter at night, basically. And I would sit there in my bed, like by myself. And, you know, she'd give like little tips, like you can write something under your pillow and then your angel will come and bring you a dream or something like or if you see a feather, you know, she's giving all these tips and like signs and things like that. So I started off really with that. And I remember just being there. And she even said like, oh, they can come and they can show up to your bed. And I was like, what the shit? No, thank you. I do not. I do not want a giant angel like on the side of my bed. Like that sounds like a ghost. And I made this like agreement that I said, like, I only wanted to like hear you guys and like feel you guys. And then I'm okay with you coming into my dreams. And these were like the boundaries I've created with my, with the spiritual world. And it was that for a long time. And as you go deeper into your intuition, there's different types of intuition. Like some people see, some people hear, sometimes you have like some people feel, you have a mix of all the clairs. And I'm very good at seeing now, but I always try to like remind people that I couldn't see in the beginning and I actually didn't want to see. I was like very afraid. So I only wanted to receive intuition like through the sense of like hearing and feeling. So that's really how I started. So I basically would, I read a lot of the books, and then there's different like certifications or courses that you'll like find along the way that really activate you. And one of them for me and for many people was Reiki. So I studied Reiki, and that really started helping me. I always tell my friends that I took the Reiki class and I had no idea what the hell they just taught me. I was like, what are those damn symbols? Like, I don't even know what it means, but something activated in me, like something like clicked in me. And that was, I kind of started to understand energy a little bit more. So that brought me up to, and really the thing that kind of opened my third eye that allowed me to start seeing was I studied this a modality that's like not too known, but it's called theta healing. And it's kind of like hypnosis, but it has a bit of a, like a woo-woo touch to it, like a spiritual touch to it. And my teacher like would teach us to do these healings, these like energetic healings. And she was very visual. So she like guided us to be very visual. And I had a very hard time because I thought I was making it up. You know, like I thought that like when she would tell me, okay, now visualize this and visualize that. I'm like, well, then am I just, I don't know, imagining things? Like, is this really happening? But she like didn't even, she thought that I was like crazy for doubting myself, which was really funny. Like she didn't like give my doubt any time. She was like, okay, just keep doing it. You're doing just fine. Keep going. And that really like started, like, I guess her belief in me and her belief in the practice really started to help me start to see. And I got like more comfortable with seeing. And then when I was there, like I started connecting to spirit guides by accident. Like that's not part of the training, but I had already kind of had an understanding of what a spirit guide was. And when I got activated through theta healing and my ability to see was like activated, then I started connecting with spirit guides. So it's very interesting how like there's these different, I've found like by training a lot of people that there's like these different courses or these different trainings that do start to activate little by little that intuition. And then after that, it's just a bunch of practice. So after that, when I met my first spirit guide, I would just sit in meditation a couple times, you know, well, more than a couple, maybe like four times a week. And I would sit with my guide for like 30 minutes. I was just obsessed with like getting information from the spirit guide and like obsessed with these. I had these like secret meetings basically with the spirit guide. And that's actually, the spirit guide taught me how to read energy. So actually like a lot of the way that I do readings now came from like my sit downs with the spirit guide. And the intuition is really just like kind of a, you have to learn to focus like your energy on these, or your attention really on these different points. So like I was horrible at getting messages and attention. Like I could not focus, but sitting down with that spirit guide and kind of like looking forward to it and just feeling like maybe I can get some information was really what trained me to like become focused. So that was a big part of like my, I did like a solo practice was with the spirit guide.
Are you loving the stories and content being shared on this podcast? If so, I have some good news for you, my friend. I created a 14-lesson audio course that compiles the stories shared on this podcast. I'm not just retelling the stories, though. I am pulling golden nuggets of wisdom and tools from these stories that pertain to bettering your physical, mental, and spiritual health. I am a believer in balance, and I believe in order to live your best life, balance in these three areas is key because the mind, body, and spirit connection is real. Oh, and I almost forgot the best part. Each lesson in this course is no more than 10 minutes long, so it's an easy listen while you're taking the dog on a walk or finishing up some dishes. If you like listening to podcasts, I know you're going to like listening to this course. So what are you waiting for? Head to the show notes of this episode to access a direct link to my course on Listenable titled The Guide to Living Your Best Life, Mind, Body, and Spirit. Don't forget to use the code SabrinaParati for 30% off. Happy listening. I love that you say it's all about practice, because I feel like a lot of us, for sure me, I spend so much time researching and studying, and I'm such a book nerd. Like, I was that straight A student. You know, I love obtaining knowledge, but I'm starting to enter this phase of my life where I'm realizing, yes, that knowledge is so helpful and so crucial, but as important, or if not more important, is the doing and the acting and that consistent practice. And that is so huge for me right now, is like what you said, training my focus to come back to this present moment. And instead of like overthinking everything in my mind about what I need to do, just diving in and just doing it. I think that's so important, not only just connecting to spirit guides, but maybe to everything in general, is just to cultivate that focus and that new habit of just doing it. Talking about spirit guides, this is getting me so excited, Nikki, because I didn't
know. Have you
met
your spirit guides, Sabrina?
No, I have not. Actually, I don't know if I have, to be honest. I guess that's my first question. How do you know if you've met your spirit guide?
Well, typically, like, you'll know, because I've definitely met people who have felt that, like, by random, they'll be like, you know, I've always felt like I had an angel around me. Like, I had this guardian angel. So I've definitely met people who by accident kind of know that there's something with them, but definitely like that full on meeting will come from some sort of experience, like whether you're meditating or maybe you just got like a healing or something. Like, it's pretty like known. Once I started seeing the spirit guides, I like sought out my spirit guide. So I definitely recommend going into meditation and trying to see if you can meet, like, you know, really just setting up a date to meet that spirit guide. Do you want to know how to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So here's all your knowledge, Nikki.
Yeah. So it's funny. I didn't know what I was doing. And then later I got some training, like some shaman training. So it was very validating that like what I was figuring out on my own was actually like a practice. So that was cool for me. Like, my spirit guide would always, every time I would close my eyes, I would go to like some spot in nature. And I thought it was like weird. Like, why do I always end up here? But then later when I got trained I went to shaman school, basically, they teach you the same thing. Like, you meet in a place of nature. So that's the first step. So you close your eyes and you just imagine, visualize a place of nature. So you are going to bring this forward. Like, so it could be the tree in front of your house, or like the lake you grew up around, or, you know, a beach, you know, whatever you want to bring forward, bring it forward. And like, hold that vision as much as you can, like just kind of seeing that, you know, different spirit guides didn't bring me to different places, but I usually go to this tree that's in front of my house. That's what I see in my vision. And then you're going to call the spirit guide forward. So you may like see, you're going to see yourself like in that visual. So I'm going to see myself like under the tree. So it's almost like a movie that I'm watching. And then I'm going to see the spirit guide come in front of me. And then I'm no longer like watching myself. Now I'm like starting to watch the spirit guide. So some people will start to see like lights, colors, and some people will get like descriptive, you know, types of guides. And there's usually, the guides exist in like certain categories. So sometimes like, you know, we'll see these light beings, or we'll see you know, kind of like goddesses. There's kind of a theme when it comes to the spirit guides, but that's really, you know, what it is. It's the hardest part is holding the focus. And the hardest part also, I think, is like, you know, not doubting yourself, you know, thinking like, this is so crazy, like I'm making this up. But with time, as you like get to see the guide and start to like lightly ask them questions and start to get things, you know, back, you start to understand it a little bit more, and they'll bring you on journeys, and there's like cooler things that can be done. But you know, it really starts off with that practice. And another pro tip is like, if you're having a hard time visualizing or seeing, some people really do well with music. So like, if you put like theta sound waves, something like that, anything that's like good meditation music, that helps some people. So in the beginning, I had to play like the same song over and over again. Like, it was just one song that had like flutes in it or something. And that, like, every time that song played, my brain knew like where to go. So that, you know, that can be helpful too for some people that have like ADD or ADHD, like we just have a harder time focusing. There's definitely like little tricks to help you focus more.
Oh, that's so helpful. Oh, I'm so excited now to go like hop on my bed and meditate for like 30 minutes and meet my spirit guide. No, I agree with what you said in the beginning of that, where I've just always felt like there has been a protective, loving energy around me. I feel like I've always been been intuitive and always have known that there's more to life than what we can see. But it's only been in recent years that I've started to specifically start to study that and practice that. But I've never had the experience that you just discussed. And it's something I am 1000% open to and ready to explore.
But you have to like do the experiences. Like it's really, because I think that, were you raised like a religion?
I had a brief period of my life where we went to church, but it wasn't Catholic. We were just like Christians and we went to like a Nazarene church. And I've never been a super religious person, but my family and I have always been spiritual, but not necessarily religious.
I don't know why, but like spirituality or the way we've done it in the past or religion, there is a strong emphasis on wisdom. There's a strong emphasis on like, you know, understanding things or reading things. But practice is where it's at, man. Like just, or these experiences, like you can, you know, there's so many cool things. Like there's these like amazing healers out there that like you go and you do an hour healing with them and you have these understandings and you feel things. And I feel like when you're first starting to explore, I was afraid. So I didn't want to have too many experiences, but afterwards, when you have those experiences, like that's really what makes you a believer. Like when you go to the psychic and you're like, even just a reading, you know, I really try, even my readings, I really try to give an experience because I think that that's what activates that curiosity because you need curiosity to like do the work. That's really like the main energy is going to come from this like curious, like light place. And those experiences really is like what keeps you engaged and motivated to keep going. And there's so many amazing healers or readers out there in the world that will give you those experiences that then like encourage you to do the work, like to kind of, you know, do and sit by yourself for 30 minutes in meditation. Like without those, I think it could be boring to sit in because you don't know like, oh, what am I going to get out of this? Or is this really real? But any of things like sound bowl experiences, any sort of energetic healing, cool readings, even anybody who's feeling called to plant medicine. I don't recommend plant medicine for somebody who hasn't done shadow work because it can be a very scary thing. But even like a retreat or something, those experiences really help you see it gives you the motivation to then do the practice on your own time.
Absolutely. And those messages that you receive in those experiences, like you said, stick with you because I've only had a couple readings in my life. And that's pretty much the extent of the experiences that you just listed off, the extent of what I've done. But I really want to get more into maybe some plant medicine exploration and stuff like that in the future and retreats. I would love that. But my current experience is just a couple readings. And one of the first readings I did was right when I graduated college. And she pulled my astrology chart and was giving me like all this awesome info about my astrology chart. But then she said, which at the time seemed so unrealistic, she said, you're going to be the type of person, like a medium, essentially, like exactly what you do, Nikki. You read and you pass along messages. She was like, that's what I do. And that's what you'll be able to do. And at the time it seemed bizarre. And I was the same way. I was like, I just don't want to see anything. I like, don't want to like look at a ghost or anything like that. But now as my life has taken such a turn and the curiosity for this spiritual development in general has just grown tremendously over the last couple of years, I definitely see that coming to fruition at some point in my life. And then another reading that I had, which was a year and a half ago at this point, so more recent, was with a good family friend who recommended this sweet woman. Her name's Ida. And she pretty much just went into like my past lives because I'm such a strong believer that past lives really affect some of the karma that you bring into this life and what you things that you experience that really don't make sense in this life, but are nonetheless here to help you heal. So we went through some of that. And then she pretty much just mentioned that I have been a part of this universe for a really long time and that my soul wanted to come to planet Earth and just like all this stuff that just gave me this confidence. And like you said, this motivation to just not give up because this is such a slow process. Like nothing good happens overnight, but this specifically, this journey and this awakening, it's a lifelong journey. It takes your whole entire life. So it's like you said, it's those moments like that that propel you forward.
Yeah, it takes time. And, you know, it really is a process of unlearning, like, because a lot of it is like, I mean, what's interesting for me is to be raising children right now, because they're not going to have to unlearn, because my kids are comfortable with like reading auras and seeing things. Like right now, there was like a swarm of bees in front of our house, and my kids didn't freak out. They were just like, "Mom, what does this mean? This means something." And I'm like, "Yes, the energy of bees is, you know, like get to work, and like it just means that like some, you know, you're building something, something new is coming, and we're in the process of moving." And we literally today said like, "Okay, guys, it's time to get to work. We're packing up the house." So the bees came to like meet us, and you know, so they're not going to have to unlearn, but we do have to unlearn, you know, because most people were born with these knowings and these gifts and in all different ways. And some of us have been able to hold on to them and some of us haven't. So we have to unlearn. And then it's also a remembering, which is interesting because you know how to do this. Like you've been, many people that I read come from other planets that this is the way that they communicate. So they know how to do telepathy. And many of us have been healers for many lifetimes or know exactly what the Akashic records are, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of it is like the work that I do, I teach, you know, these programs, but it's really just a remembering and an activation. Like it's, I just happen to be the person that is reminding a lot of people, but a lot of the girls that I teach, they just take the information and they run with it because there's an innate knowing, you know, it's like touching a little button. It's like, you just have to be activated. You just have to remember it. So it's an unlearning and a remembering, which is really interesting.
Now, in terms of like our spirit guides, because I believe we all have them, everybody has them, whether they feel it or not. And I really learned about spirit guides when I read The Instruction by Ainsley MacLeod.
I haven't read that one.
Oh, it's so good. You have to read it. He was interviewed on one of Oprah's podcasts a couple years ago, and it's amazing. And he wrote this book with his spirit guides, and it pretty much just walks you through everybody's different soul ages. And it's so insightful, and I love it. But he pretty much says that we're given spirit guides based on the lessons that we need to learn in this lifetime. And I kind of wanted to get your input on that and see and ask you, is there like a specific system that takes place in the universe where we get like specific spirit guides that are assigned to us to help us learn and grow in the exact perfect way we need to learn and grow?
So a lot of my spirit guide experience is because I've read so many people. So I've seen so many different spirit guides, and I just kind of pieced together some of the things that I kept seeing. And then plus I was also I really enjoyed Journey of Souls. Have you read that one?
No.
Oh, you'll love it.
I'm writing it down Newton. Now.
Yeah. So Journey of Souls, it's an old book. He actually passed away, but it's just so great. He basically was regressing people in between lives. So like from the death of one past life, and then they were up in the spirit world and before they came into the next lifetime. So he has like all this research from that. So it's really cool. But there's a lot of spirit guide talk there. And for me, I had already been practicing and, you know, reading people and all that stuff. So when I read that book, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I've seen this. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. He goes into the soul ages also. Like he does a little bit of like the colors according to like how old the soul is and stuff like that. So it's really interesting. But from my understanding, from like what I've seen a lot, plus a little bit of what I have studied, you know, it looks like there's a bit of a hierarchy, but not in like a human hierarchy, like nobody's better than another, but there is definitely like steps. So everybody has a council, which is, if you've ever heard somebody talk about a near-death experience, they'll say like, oh, I went to this judgment place, like the place of judgment or something. And what they're talking about is the council, which is kind of what you would imagine almost like, you know, kind of what we see in the government, like, you know, five people sitting up on these like, you know, half moon type like podiums or whatever. And they're really not there to judge you, but this is like the team that oversees you as a soul. And they're like the elders almost. And that's what we would consider our council. You can visit them. They're next to like the Akashic records. Once you learn to go into the Akashic records, you can connect with your council. And they really just oversee, like they help you make your soul's contract. So before you come into this lifetime, like, you know, this is like your board of directors basically. And you're like, okay guys, like, what do you think? I was thinking, I want to learn this. Like, what do you think about this? I was thinking about like asking for a crazy mom, but a really nice dad, you know, what do you think? You know, and the council's kind of like, you know, maybe we should throw in like an amazing, you know, sister or whatever, you know, so this is like you're kind of overseeing. And sometimes these show up as spirit guides because they'll come in every once in a while, or you'll see one of them depending on like where you are in life. And then definitely under that, we see like specialty guides. We'll see guides that are there for specialties. So like I have one guide who is a spiritual ancestor, and a spiritual ancestor means that it's somebody that I have lived another lifetime with, but I'm not, you know, they're not necessarily living a lifetime with me now. So they're spiritual, but they are from like my lineage, from my spiritual lineage. So I have one guide right now who I've had for many years and is the guide that helps me read and do all the work that I do, like all the energy work. And that's like really what he's there for. He's not interested in like my personal life or, you know, anything like that. He's really here for like all the metaphysical stuff. And then I'll have like other guides that support, you know, sometimes I'll see people start to become like a new mom, let's say, and then they'll have like a divine feminine guide come through, or there's somebody that's like learning to believe in themselves. And then they have this like one guide that's all about that. So we definitely see them come in and out if that's what's needed. And then also we all have like one spirit guide that's like the general, like overall coach. But depending on the age of the soul, like if the soul is a younger soul or an older soul, that guide will be either very hands-on or less hands-on. So it just depends, which is so funny because in my programs, we teach spirit guides, and I've taught a lot of people like how to connect with their spirit guides. And when we do the group work, some people are like really good at connecting with their guides, and then others are not getting too much information. And typically the person that's not getting a lot of information is like, shit, you know, something's wrong with me. Like I'm not doing a good job. This is like not working. But what's funny is that some of these people just get guides that are very hands-off, you know, like that mom that's like going to let you figure it out. And then there's like a helicopter mom too, you know, so you have different, not that you'll ever have a helicopter spirit guide, but you'll have a spirit guide who's more involved. But it's really funny. We have like in our community and Soul Collective, we joke that we need like we're going to make like a support group for all of us who like have spirit guides that are not very hands-on. It's very sad when your spirit guide doesn't talk to you too much, but you can definitely call in new ones, you know? So typically when people start meeting their spirit guides with time, we'll see them have like 3, 4, some will come and go. And, you know, it just kind of keeps on. And sometimes you just like stick to one, or you jump around. It really just depends on where the person is in their life, like what they currently need. And also we have these like specialty ones that come in for special things. Like, so when you get into the metaphysics and like maybe you start studying more, you'll probably definitely get, you know, most probably you're going to get a guide that's there for the metaphysics for you.
Wow, so interesting. So ways that we can connect to our different spirit guides is through that process that you talked about before. Like if we use that same process, different guides will come in at different times in our life.
Definitely. We have I can send you the link so you can keep it in your show notes, but we do have like a free guided meditation to meet your spirit guide. I actually have like a little free course too in our community, which I'll share with you, and it explains the process a little bit more, and we do it together. So that can be more supportive.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so excited. I'll definitely be posting that.
Yeah. But really anything that, you know, sometimes you'll have a healing and your spirit guide will show up there. Sometimes you'll have a dream, but even just setting the intention that like you're ready to meet your spirit guide, you may meet them in other forms, like spontaneously before you even get to the meditation. So just the awareness, like for me, it was spontaneous. Like I heard about spirit guides, and then all of a sudden I was doing that theta healing training, and in that training, one of them showed up. So it just like that awareness, being ready to meet them, wanting to meet them, all that stuff, like really made that perfect moment where my brain was present enough, was like in complete presence. And that's like how I was able to get the information. Like, you know, that's how I was able to make the connection spontaneously.
So what would you say to someone that has a curiosity around this, right? And wants to meet their spirit guides and wants to explore, but they've kind of labeled themselves as that person who isn't intuitive enough. Because like what we talked about prior is we think that there's only this elite group of people that can connect with spirit guides and that can be a medium and send messages. But I believe everyone can. It's just some people are more blocked than others. So someone who's listening, and maybe this is me to an extent, like I definitely feel something deep within me that is capable of this. But at this point in my life, I don't know if I'm to that intuitive state I need to be to receive. So what would you say to someone listening that doesn't feel like they're there yet, but they want to deepen that intuition?
I mean, first thing to know is that like it is a very slow process, because in many ways it sounds like you're afraid to like to have the full power, you know, which I get it. Like from here to having full power is very scary, but thankfully it doesn't work that way, which is similar to like pregnancy. Like thankfully we have 9 months, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the minute you're like, okay, I want to get pregnant. And, you know, if God willing, it happens right away, you have 9 months to prepare to become a mother. So intuition is kind of the same way, like, or waking up to these gifts is kind of the same way. Like it's going to be droplets in the beginning. So you don't have to be afraid of that full responsibility or that full shift in your perception, because it is a shift in the perception. It's you're going to see the world a little differently because of this, because you're going to start to exist between these two worlds. They're going to become one. The spiritual and the physical become one when you start doing this work. So it could be scary to think that it's going to happen overnight, but it's not. So that's one. It's a good and a bad thing, because people get frustrated about that. But also knowing that if you're dedicated to like being your authentic self and being your true self, you know, your intuition and your ability to go beyond what is physical is part of your authentic self. It is part of the truth of a human. Like it's the truth of the brain. It's like what we're able to do. So if you're really like dedicated to kind of walking that path and like really wanting to be the most purest version or the truest version of yourself, this is a tool, or it's a part of you that like you're just, that we just don't remember, because part of our contracts means that the soul's going to drop here into the earth and it's going to forget everything. You know, it's going to forget its lifetimes, all that kind of stuff. But now as we evolve as a species and we're really trying to expand more and more, we are having this knowledge and this remembering that we can like remember those things, and it's going to make our spiritual expansion go faster, and therefore like the whole collective expands faster. So it is like your activism also, you know, in many ways. And also like one thing that really helps, Sabrina, which is something that we discovered through this process in teaching in group, is community and practice like go hand in hand. And, you know, part of it is that we feel very scared. We feel very alone. We're coming from our friends that, you know us as one way. And we're afraid that if we start opening up to this, that like, we're going to lose our friends or our business or, you know, whatever it may be. But the truth is like, there's a whole group of women who are just like you, who have regular day jobs and do regular things, but also like to explore this part of them. And that helps you a lot. Like when you're in community, and also practicing community is like where you get like really strong as well. So I totally get the fear, and it's really, you know, it comes from a place of thinking that people are going to leave us, or that we're going to, you know, that our life is going to change, or that we're going to lose things when we become more woke, basically. I remember as a kid, when I moved from New Jersey to Florida, I was in public school in New Jersey. And when we got to Miami, my parents put us in Catholic school. And so I didn't know too much about like Catholicism or anything. My parents, you know, kind of practiced, but I, you know, when you get into Catholic school, you have religion class every day. So you really get deep into like the ways of Christianity. And I remember I had this one religion teacher. I was in third grade, my first year in Catholic school. And she's like telling us a story about like how priests and nuns are like called into service. Like she was explaining that you have a dream and an angel comes into your dream and it tells you that you need to like be a priest or a nun. And you have, when God calls you, you know, you have to agree. And then like your whole life changes, you know? And I was like, what? Absolutely not. Like I am not going to sleep. And I remember for like a week, I wouldn't go to sleep, because a part of me felt very like in love with God, you know, and in love with spirituality, but I did not want to give up everything in order to follow him, which is kind of how, you know, that's like kind of the myth that spirituality means you're going to be broke, or that, you know, you have to give up all worldly things. And that's not true. We came to earth to live a human experience, and you know, human experience comes with cars and money and hair extensions and like all sorts of stuff. So that feeling of like going into this work and going deeper into releasing the ego, which is one of the ways the ego gets you, is this feeling of like, I'm going to have to lose everything and lose the people I love, lose the worldly things that I love in order to follow this path, which is not true. That is an ego trick, because the ego does not want you to become more light and more awake, because the fewer of us awake, the better it is for the darkness. You know, the world gets to continue the way that it's continuing. So one of the biggest myths is that very like, you know, St. Teresa, you know, that priest that like, you know, has to give up everything to follow in the steps of the light. And that's really not what we're doing anymore. So that fear has to be released. And that's an old myth that needs to be let go.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think we're resistant to change in general, like change with anything. And especially when it comes to this, you know, because my whole life I have been identified, and I'm starting to unlearn that identification, but I've identified as an overthinker and as a worrier. And that has the ego written all over it, right? Like the ego is the one that worries and overthinks everything and lives in a very fear-based mindset. And so now that I'm trying to unlearn that and working towards unlearning that, there is such a tug from the ego's end of like trying to pull. It's like I literally feel the tug trying to pull me back to those old conditioned ways of just living in fear and living in worry. It's kind of like this like scramble from the ego's end of like what it's going to happen to me if I don't worry and I don't fear. Because,
right, who am I going to be? Like, what's on the other end?
Exactly. Because even though it's uncomfortable, it's what we've known. And I had a coach a couple of years ago that said, even though these old patterns don't serve us, we've gotten this far. We have survived this long doing these unhealthy patterns. So the ego's like, let me just continue doing what I know is going to help me survive. And it's just, even though we know it's not good for us, we know there is a different path, it is such a strong tug in that conditioned way of the fear and of the worry, because you don't know what's on the other side. Like living
into the unknown.
Exactly. Into the unknown. Like living in that unknown, or even living in that like vision of like lightness and enlightenment, it just seems too good to be true.
Yeah. And it's just scary. Like, it's just, who am I going to be? But it sounds like you've done a certain level of personal development and all that stuff. And I'm sure that what you've learned is that every time you release something that doesn't serve you, like your life gets better. And, you know, life getting better doesn't mean, you know, all the successes that we think about, but it's like, you feel more you feel more yourself. It's worth it. So that's why I'm just not as afraid of letting things go anymore when they show up. You know, they show up and they're like, oh, this is ready to go. Like it's time, because life has already taught me that when you let go of those things that are not true to you, they're not real, that they're just ego, you know, things that are keeping you from like your truest power, which sounds like, I just hear you and I'm like, oh my God, there's all this power on the other end of Sabrina.
Like, I feel it, Nikki. It's
like the ego. And I always say, so another thing, when I got into this work, I was all like love and light. You know, I started with angels. I had no interest in like believing that like there was a devil or bad things or dark things or any of those things. But as I got into this work, I realized that like, you know, there are two energies in the world. There's love and there's fear. Like it exists. It just is, even though like love is only real, but there's these two energies that we're always plugging into. And the more I got into the light, like the more that I was like seeking the release of the ego and all that stuff, the more fear came after me, which was really interesting. You would think that it gets better with time, but on the contrary, it feels to me almost like fear has more of an agenda against you the stronger you get, because the bigger the impact you can make. So at first, like it doesn't give a shit about you because you're not really like inspiring too many people, or you're not making much of a difference, you know. But as you get stronger and stronger, like you're more of a threat. So actually, as you seek more light and as you seek more enlightenment, I do find that those dark moments come for you. The fear comes for you long, like bigger. And you just have to learn the skill to realize that fear isn't real. So I tend to like play with fear a lot. That's what diffuses it for me. Like I'm very playful with fear. I'm like, oh, here you are again. Like I crack jokes and that actually diffuses like the big scary monster of the ego or the fear. So you have to kind of develop a skill that diffuses fear rather than expecting it to never be there again.
I love that. I feel like that's exactly what I've needed to hear, because I think that goes along with a lot of other things that have been spoken to on this podcast and that I've read, is that you need to accept the fear, or like accept the anxiety, or accept the sad days, because when you do, it dissipates the power, because it seems so much worse than it actually is. So I love the fact too that you also said there's only fear and love. And I also love that, because like we came to have this human experience, experiencing both fear and both love. And so much of the time we resist the fear and we resist the anxiety. But as humans, we're meant to feel that. So I think that is like another form of acceptance in a way, which is another way of loving even your fear and learning how to live with it. Because like you said, it's not going to go away fully, which I think a lot of us expect it to, but that's just not reality. That's a form of perfectionism. Just knowing that it will surface, but knowing that it's not real. And I love thinking about fear as false evidence appearing real. Like it is not real. And then just training my mind to come back to this present moment.
Diffuse it.
Yep, exactly. Diffuse it and then just focus on what is real, which is this present moment.
Exactly. Beautiful. Oh,
so good. This was amazing. I want to just really quick before we hop off of our call today, I want to talk about your podcast, which is called Soul Led. And I love the name of your show. I know you recently rebranded it and I love the cover art. I have to know, where did you take that picture? Was it like in this beautiful jungle in Costa Rica? Because that's what I'm envisioning.
Absolutely not, Sabrina. It was like a park in the suburbs, like right by my house. There's this park that my kids love to go to. And there's like this, all this overgrown area. And my photographer, I was like telling him the vibe I was going for. And my photographer's like, oh, I mean, I don't know where we can go. I'm like, I know where we can go. And he was like, same thing. He couldn't believe that I found this like place. And it was just a tree had fallen down. It was, I mean, you know how it is. The camera captures like this little square and it looks really nice in that square. But if you'd see it in person, yeah, it's not fancy at all. But I had a vision of like kind of what I was looking for. And then it showed itself to me with time. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your show and what it has evolved into.
Yeah, so originally I got into this work with dating, actually. I was like, I taught like spiritual dating is basically was my niche to begin with, because I first, like when I started getting into this work before I met my husband, when I was an editor, I had a blog and I was, you know, I wanted to write like kind of self-helpy stuff. And I was dating at the time and I was really like discovering myself through dating. So I started, you know, writing about dating and kind of these like, you know, awakenings I was having, like the self-love moments that I was having, like all this just like cool stuff that was happening to me while I was dating. And that really just people resonated with that. So originally, like my work was really that my first book was about dating. It's called The Final Swipe. And it was really just the you know, the talk of, you know, that dating is like not this thing that it's not really like a means to an end. It's really just this journey in our life that really can help us go more into our spirituality, and that soulmates come and past lives come and like all this cool stuff starts happening like when you're dating. So we really started to see it through that lens. So I had the podcast called The Final Swipe, like that was the original name. And as I got more into the intuition work and like teaching people about intuition, and our community started growing. We have a free community called Soul Collective, and we do like free workshops, and a lot of the girls that like studied under me like teach there, and we were just like expanding so much. The dating work just didn't resonate with me anymore. So we decided to rebrand into Soul Led, because really the work that I do is all about like you having a meeting with your soul. Like I really just try to remind people, you know, and even the readings, that's really what we're trying to do. And I've, you know, trained a bunch of people, so they're doing the work as well. And we just have this really beautiful community, and Soul Led is kind of goes with all the other names that we have, you know, it's all about the soul. So it's really just about living a soul led life.
I love that. Everyone listening, if you love this episode, go listen to Soul Led, because it's exactly what you need. Oh my goodness. Nikki, thank you so much. I have one more question for you, and it's something I ask all of my guests at the end of the show. And it's, how do you cultivate curiosity in your everyday life?
Oh my gosh, I'm such a curious person. Like I feel like that's the energy I exist in all the time. And it's really just like, I think it's a way of loving myself. So for me, I see curiosity as a way of giving back to myself, you know, really bringing like joy to myself. So I let, like, one of the words I use a lot is I allow, you know, I allow myself to follow whatever I'm curious about. And that has just proven to give me a lot of joy in life. I think curiosity is like one of the things I value the most. I really think it is the beginning of all successes. I think it's the window into like your true soul, you know, whatever you're curious about. And if you can't find curiosity right now, I would definitely introduce the word allow to you. Like what, you know, if you allowed yourself, like what would you allow yourself, you know? And that really is a step before curiosity.
So good. I love that. I love that you said curiosity is the door to all opportunities. That's such a great way to put that. Nikki, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been such an honor to have you come on the show and talk about spirit guides, which I don't think is talked enough about in this space, and how we can tap into our spirit guides, which are undeniably with us. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabrina.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cultivating Curiosity podcast. If you enjoyed it, can you please do your girl a favor and leave me a review? Also, don't forget to follow this show on your platform of choice so that you are the first to know when a new episode is released. Until next time, stay curious.